have to say, you have a beautiful church. What a lovely church, inside and out. So well done for looking after it so well. The last parish that Dale and I were in was Holy Trinity in Tauranga. And I finished there in 2019 because the bishop, Bishop Andrew, asked me to go and be the regional dean in the Bay of Plenty. That's like an archdeacon's job, and it was full-time. And Dale stayed back at Holy Trinity for another 18 months, and I went into this lovely regional dean job, which had a full stipend. It had a full cashed-up housing allowance. It had a diocesan car. I was in clover. But after 2 years, I'd sort of had enough of that regional dean position and got to the point where I wanted to finish. And I thought, how am I going to tell the bishop? He's put me into this position of trust. I've only been there for 2 years. And what I found frustrating was that while one is in Tauranga and that Bay of Plenty, the regional head office, if you like, is way, way down in Napier. I guess I felt a little bit like the people in Hokitika. You try to get something done. By the time you've sorted it out in Hokitika, the message has got to get over the mountains, across the plains, and work some magic in the diocesan office down here in Christchurch. And there was just such a dislocation and frustration in getting anything done. But I also think that as a vicar, you end up solving problems all the time, making things work, fixing things. And I thought that's what the regional dean's job was, but it wasn't. I perhaps could have stayed in it longer if I'd realized that my job wasn't to fix things, but to help other people think through how they might fix things. That might have made it last longer. But anyway, after a short 2 years, and I was past retirement age, I'd had enough. And I thought, how do I explain this to the bishop without upsetting him? So I sat down with him over a coffee, and I had no words to say. I didn't know what I was going to say. And then suddenly, the truth popped out. I said, Bishop, I don't know how to say this, but I'm weary of contending. That's what I heard myself say. I'm tired of contending. And that was as much a surprise to myself as it would have been to him. But I think that was the real reason why I had come to an end. I'd worn out. I was weary of contending for the things of the gospel. So that was a moment of honesty, if you like, that I'd got to after 42 years. Hold that thought. I was weary of contending, because we will come back to that. After a rest, several months of watching television and stroking the cat, I was asked to help out with the community of St. Mark as like a national field worker, a community coordinator for the community of St. Mark. The community of St. Mark is a community of individuals and parishes gathered around Mark chapter 1, verse 15, where Jesus says, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe the good news. And that's the heart of what the community of St. Mark is about. And the purpose of the community of St. Mark is to promote the saving grace of Jesus Christ through disciple-making and enlarging the kingdom of God. So it's about strengthening what we call them parishes, but I call them missional worshiping communities. We're a community that worships, but we're missional. We don't just gather for liturgy and for pastoral care. We are a Christ-gathered missional community, and we want to promote that. But also to promote the theological convictions of its affiliates and its members. So the values of ACM are like our foundation. You take a foundation for granted in your house. I presume the foundations here are good, Tim. strong foundations, not wobbly. You survived the earthquake quite well. Good foundations. We take them for granted, but in fact they need to be strong. And so I think the foundational values of the Community of St. Mark are really, really simple and straightforward. We believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and Saviour and Friend. You think you could take that for granted these days, but you can't necessarily. The Lordship of Christ. We believe in the authority of Scripture. We believe that the Bible needs to be taken significantly, that the Scriptures are God-breathed and have authority. We believe in the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is given to every Christian disciple as a paraclete, John calls the Holy Spirit, alongsider, someone alongside every single one of us to empower and to help us in the mission of Christ and in our discipleship. And we believe in the centrality of the mission of the church. Things like evangelism, personal conversion, and discipleship. And finally, in terms of the whole sexuality area, we affirm the Lambeth Conference 1998 resolution, I-10. But back to contending for the gospel. Jude, verse 3, no chapters, says, I write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith. And here was I, worn out of contending. I thought that the contending was like once for all. I don't know if you know about the Affirm organization, but it got started in 1993 and supported the more conservative, biblical part of the church through to the big debates of 2018. That's 25 years of contending. No wonder we're a bit worn out. But this is what I have learned in my deep old age. Not as old as Graham over there, but getting there. Contending is something that each generation has to do afresh. Okay? That's my takeaway for today. I might have got weary of contending, but that doesn't really count. Contending for the gospel is something that every generation has to do afresh in every generation. Now, I know that we like to be nice people. I'm not a contentious individual, really. I like to be pleasant. I'd rather sit down and have a good conversation than, you know, go into attack mode. I'm not comfortable with that. And as I was preparing for this sermon today, I searched the scriptures, if you like, with the aid of Google, and was amazed at how strong our scriptures are about contending. So in Romans, Paul says, keep an eye on false teachers. But then in 1 Timothy, he says, point out false teachers. And then in Galatians, he says, let anyone teaching another gospel be accursed. So, you know, a nice wee progression there from keeping an eye out, pointing a finger to being accursed. That's a nice little progression. Ephesians chapter 6, Paul says, take up the whole armor of God. I know we know that passage. That you may be able to stand on the evil day, and having done all, to stand. But then in Philippians chapter 1, he says, stand firm and strive for the gospel. So it pushes it out a bit more into the territory of striving. And then Ephesians chapter 5, he says, Paul says, expose the deeds of darkness. And in 1 Timothy, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Flee from greed and pursue righteousness. So I guess if somebody came along, Rod, and said, what are you doing today? You could say, I'm fleeing from greed and pursuing righteousness. That would be a good response. It's an action that God calls us into in our lives to support that contending for the gospel. In 1 Timothy 6, Paul says, fight the good fight. And then in 2 Timothy 4, Don't just preach the word, but reprove, rebuke, and exhort. So contending for the gospel turns out not to be something that one might retire from. It's not just something that we did at one point. It's part of the journey of the gospel for everyone in every generation, in every time. Contending for the gospel is something that each and every generation has to do afresh. And connecting with the community of St. Mark is one way of standing for the gospel and contending for the gospel. You know, I've been surprised how welcome I have been in the offices of the bishops all around the country. They understand the place of the community of St. Mark. They understand that churches that are Bible-believing have a significant place within the life of this Anglican church. I put a few brochures at the back of the church and given some to your vicar, Tim, and if you would like to have a look at that, you can do that. So we don't like to contend. We like to be nice. But at the end of the day, we do have to find a way for affirming our faith in against all the things that come against it on a week-to-week, day-to-day, year-to-year basis. I was surprised when I looked in the scriptures just how strong that message is through every part of the New Testament. We need to keep on contending for the good things of Christ. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for what he did for us. It's our desire to honor him, to love him, and to enjoy him. Thank you for your scriptures, which reveal so much about your good heart and purpose for us and for the whole world. And we thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to be our helper, because we cannot do these things on our own. We need your help. We pray for our church, Lord, that you would draw our whole church back to a place of honoring you with its whole heart. Lord, stand before us and enable us to stand for you. These things we pray in Jesus' name.